as an industrial complex and fueling mass incarceration. So yay for formal equality, but I think we should be more critical about how many people we're sending to prison and how we're doing that and in the service of what.
Well, I want to thank you so much. Clearly a conversation that needs to continue. Chase Stranger, staff attorney at the ACLU, challenging the Trump administration's ban on service members who are transgender. That does it for our show. Special thanks to Mike Burke, Dina Guzder, Carla Wills, Dennis Moynihan, and Libby Rainey.
KABU Community Radio holds open meetings concerning the operations and programming of KABU in accordance with requirements of the Communications Act of 1934 and certification requirements of the Corporation for Public Broadcasting. Information about KABU Community Radio's open meetings policy is available by calling the station at 503-231-8032. Meetings will be held at 20 Southeast 8th Avenue in Portland. The Finance Committee meets the fourth Monday of every month at 4:30 p.m.
KABU Community Radio is proud to co-sponsor La Segua, running February 7th to March 2nd at the Milagro Theater in Portland. La Segua is a Central American cautionary folktale of a young, beautiful woman whom philandering men encounter on their way back home. Her beauty decays into a horror that drives the men mad. The play tells the story of a beautiful woman who was haunted by the specter of La Segua and takes a hard look at Costa Rican values, including ambition, hypocrisy, and follows themes of machismo, vanity, and narcissism. Again, that's La Segua, running February 7th to March 2nd on Thursday, Friday, and Saturday nights at 7:30 and Sundays at 2 p.m. at the Milagro Theater, 525 Southeast Stark Street in Portland. More information can be found at kabu.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
KABU Community Radio is a proud co-sponsor of the 29th Annual Cascade Festival of African Films from Friday, February 1st through Saturday, March 2nd. The Cascade Festival of African Films represent different countries and cultures and a range of lifestyles from pre-colonial to modern times, including both rural and urban settings. Films include Razzia, a film from Morocco, and more at the Hollywood Theater, and Wale from Burkina Faso, Fig Tree from Ethiopia, shorts from emerging African filmmakers, and many more at the Moriarty Arts and Humanities Building, Room 104, at the PCC Cascade Campus, 705 North Killingsworth Street in Portland. Again, that's the 29th Annual Cascade Festival of African Films from Friday, February 1st through Saturday, March 2nd. More information can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
And you are listening to KBOO Portland. It is 5:02 and we have KABU Evening News coming up next.
And now, your daily volunteer-produced community newscast, the KABU Evening News.
Coming up on the KABU Evening News, the continuation of the U.S. government shutdown.
Plans are in the work at Portland City Council to make this city a sanctuary place for immigrants.
And in international news, the coup in Venezuela.
Good evening. This is the KABU Evening News for Wednesday, January 23rd, 2019. I'm Erin J. Bernard.
And I'm Rachel Hartley. Clark County Public Health is continuing its measles outbreak investigation. Since January 1st, we have identified 23 confirmed cases and 7 suspect cases. No additional confirmed cases have been identified since yesterday's update.
The Portland Children's Museum is offering free admission for any furloughed and unpaid government employees and their families during the partial government shutdown. The museum's executive director, Ruth Shelley, stated that, quote, "The partial government shutdown has put an exceptional strain on families with young children. We at Portland Children's Museum would like to offer a little respite from that stress by offering a free opportunity to come play and learn together. The shutdown has entered into day 33. We wonder how long we will be able to stand this uncertainty, but we can fill ourselves with joy and hope through the eyes of a child in the meantime.
The Police Policy Committee of the Board on Public Safety Standards and Training will hold a regular meeting at 10 a.m. beginning on February 21st, 2019. The meeting will be held in the Victor G. Atiyah Boardroom at the Oregon Public Safety Academy in Salem, Oregon. The meeting location is accessible to persons with disabilities. A request for an interpreter for the hearing, impaired, or for other accommodations for persons with disabilities should be made before the meeting by calling the contact listed above.
Portland City Council today voted to support a measure to join the Safe Cities Network. This network provides the city with grants to provide funding to local immigrants fighting deportation by federal law enforcement. It also reiterates the commitment by Portland city officials to not cooperate with federal immigration agents who attempt to profile and detain Portlanders, even those who have committed no crime, and attempt to deport them. Here's some of the testimony from today's city council meeting.
Over 140 individuals have been screened for legal representation services, with about 100 ultimately eligible for case placement. Among the cases that we have placed so far include cases for asylum-seeking families who were separated at the border as a result of the Trump administration's zero-tolerance policy. Thirdly, in the span of 3 months, we've held three workshops, two geared around knowing your rights, and one that provided assistance to individuals who were filing formal asylum applications. The workshops were well attended, and people were really excited about finally having a tool to complete very important legal work for their cases. Fourthly, because of this investment, we've been able, our equity core attorneys have provided many basic services to individuals who are in removal proceedings. For example, filing the asylum applications, and changing immigration court venues for individuals who were released from detention elsewhere and then came to Portland as their final destination. And finally, I want to share with you that the very first case that was placed through Equity Core did go to court. Unfortunately, because of the federal government shutdown, they haven't received a final decision yet. However, in this particular case, it's important to mention that legal representation was provided for a family that up until then had not been able to secure an attorney. And now because of the Equity Core program, they have a fighting chance at winning their claim and being able to stay here in Portland. Given the federal government's repeated attempts to unfairly and unlawfully target immigrants of color, local action is more important than ever before. Joining Safe Cities is an important step forward. And by doing so, we affirm Portland's commitment to being a welcoming city.
I also very much appreciate this resolution and will be voting in support of it. I still want to put on the record that there are others in our community that need legal representation as well. And I hope that the city council, my colleagues, won't stop at just making sure that we're providing legal representation for immigrants who are facing deportation. That is an important issue. But we also have people who are being harmed in our community by police and by other government agencies that are right here in the city of Portland. And those people deserve legal representation as well. And I hope we will broaden the conversation so that we can make sure that no one in the community who's being harmed are not receiving their due process through our legal process. Aye.
Our federal government is criminalizing immigrants and refugees. They're violating their constitutional rights. As criminals, they would have a right to representation, and they certainly have a right to due process regardless. However, we don't supply them with that. And so this effort around universal representation seeks to remedy that situation. I'm so proud of the work that Equity Corps of Oregon has done, and for they're continuing to be on the front line of protecting some of the most vulnerable immigrants in our community. Building the first universal representation program from the ground up was no easy task and continues to be challenging. Yet this powerhouse group of attorneys and advocates are doing just that, while also simultaneously defending the rights of asylum seekers wrongfully detained in Sheridan this summer, fighting the attempted repeal of our sanctuary state laws on the ballot, and much more. As we've discussed, supporting the universal defense of immigrants facing deportation is about safeguarding everyone's constitutional right to due process. It's about declaring our values and allocating resources accordingly. It is about saying no to family separation and undue trauma in our communities. I appreciate that Governor Brown has included universal representation in her proposed budget, and I'm pleased to continue to support this work. Joining the SAFE network gives us access to additional tools and potential resources, but it's also an opportunity to show the great work happening right here in Portland as a model for other cities. So thank you again to my colleagues, thank you to our presenters today, and all who continue to push this work forward. I vote aye. The item is passed.
That was Portland City Commissioner Chloe Udaly. Just before her was Commissioner Joanne Hardesty. The City Council passed the measure to join the Safe Cities Network and try to maintain a commitment to being a sanctuary city for immigrants.
Temporary protections for 800,000 Dreamers brought to the U.S. as children will remain in place for now. The U.S. Supreme Court declined, for the time being, to take up the Trump administration's request that justices dismiss a legal challenge to the administration's decision to end deferred action for childhood arrivals, or DACA. DACA has provided protection from deportation as well as work authorization to nearly 825,000 young undocumented immigrants over the past 6 years, but it has been in jeopardy since the Trump administration announced its end in September of 2017. While immigrant rights activists are cheering and Supreme Court's decisions, DACA is not out of the woods yet. The administration has made it clear it wants to end the program entirely. And the Supreme Court could still grant a review in the months ahead. Those who missed the deadline for applying for DACA are unable to apply for protection today. The process to renew DACA statuses remains in place.
Portland School Board member Julia Brim Edwards has reportedly told the Oregonian that she believes the city's Board of Education will put on hold a contract with the Portland Police. Voted on back in December, the contract expands the presence of Portland Police patrolling PPS facilities, adding 9 officers and shouldering the cost of $1.2 million on the district. For 2 decades, the Portland Police Bureau has provided officers free of charge to the district. The agreement for PPS to pay the department was derided by students, parents, and local activists who had petitioned for more time and opportunities to make their case against the agreement. Debate within those communities has centered on this measure, increasing the perception of criminality while also leading to the actual criminalizing of youth in the school system, especially racially and economically marginalized students. Sometimes referred to as the school-to-prison pipeline, increased police presence in schools has been argued to lead to the disproportionate criminalizing of behavior by youth of color. Marginalized youth are already disproportionately targeted for and affected by Oregon's harsh youth minimum sentencing laws enforced under Measure 11.
Representation has been a topic at the forefront of conversation in Hollywood this year. Both behind and in front of the camera, the industry is often accused of actively upholding institutionalized sexism, racism, and ableism. In stark contrast, the 2019 Sundance Independent Film Festival may just be the industry's most diverse festival to date. Of the 61 directors represented at the Sundance this year, 42% are women, 39% of people are of color, and 23% of people are those who identify as LGBTQ. More than statistics, these numbers will provide audiences with a festival in which many may see themselves represented more fully. Zora Howard, the star and co-writer of the film Premature, said powerfully, quote, It's not just about seeing representations of yourself, people that look like you on screen. It's also about representations of your experience. The festival held in Park City, Utah, will start tomorrow and run through February 3rd.
You are listening to the KBOO Evening News. Stay tuned after this newscast for News from the BOO. At 6, it's Sojourner Truth Radio. Then at 7, it's Hard Knock Radio. Tonight's weather is mainly cloudy, low 41. Winds light and variable. In tomorrow's weather, areas of patchy fog early, cloudy skies, high of 48. Again, winds light and variable. Today in history, Dr. Daniel Hale Williams founded Provident Hospital in Chicago in 1889. Also in history, Paul Robeson, athlete, lawyer, singer, died in Philadelphia in 1976 on this day. The quote of the day is from Paul Robeson, who said, "I do not hesitate one second to state clearly and unmistakably, I belong to the American resistance movement, which fights against American imperialism just as the resistance movement fought against Hitler. As an artist, I come to sing, but as a citizen, I will always speak for peace, and no one can silence me in this."
It's day 33. Of the longest government shutdown in history. And Donald Trump continues to refuse to budge on his demand that Congress fund his border wall. House Democrats say they are drafting a new proposal today asking the president to reopen the government in exchange for around $5 billion more for border security, but without the wall. This is the first time the Democratic leadership have laid out the terms under which they will accept a compromise to end the partial government shutdown. Trump continues to lose support as the effects of the shutdown are felt across the country, with most of the public blaming him for holding hundreds of thousands of government workers' paychecks hostage to demand a poorly defined and expensive border wall.
Today, House Speaker Nancy Pelosi announced her intention to bar President Trump from holding the State of the Union in the House chambers, as is customary, until the government is reopened. She suggested that the address could be given in writing or done in the Oval Office at a later date. Pelosi's statement comes 5 weeks into the longest government shutdown in American history, with no end in sight.
And now, it's time for today's report from National Native News, the daily newscast dedicated to Native American news, issues, and culture.
This is National Native News. I'm Antonia Gonzalez. The American Indian Movement chapter of Indiana and Kentucky hosted a peace vigil in Covington Tuesday calling for an end to racism. The event was in response to the recent incident involving Nathan Phillips and Covington Catholic High School students in Washington, D.C., which has stirred up controversy nationwide after a video went viral showing the Omaha elder drumming near the students. Tribal leaders and Native American members of Congress called the students' actions disrespectful. Others, including President Trump, have weighed in, showing support for the students. In a live stream by television station KJRH, Guy Jones at the Kentucky rally said the Native community would like to meet with the diocese to discuss moving forward.
One of the things that happened is that when we look at everything, when we look at the entirety of it all, you know, there's, you know, people are pointing and blaming each other, but the reality that this is a product of a symptom that is very, very, that's growing in this country. And we as a people have to go and put a stop to it.
Members of Native communities across the country are also calling for peace and for education about Indigenous issues. A rally showing support for Phillips was held Sunday in Lincoln, Nebraska. Renee Sanssouci with Nebraskans for Peace helped organize the event, saying they were not finger-pointing, but rather raising awareness.
So to me, I felt like this needs to be broadcast to the people here in this city, but also in Nebraska and the region, whatever, that they need to understand that these issues that are occurring as a result now, the racial tension that's been magnified by the current president, you know, in creating this divide between all the people, that this isn't a joke, you know. We're seeing it unfold in this incident as a perfect example.
Meanwhile, Covington Catholic High School students will reportedly return to school Wednesday after classes were canceled Tuesday due to safety concerns. The diocese in statements have said there will be an investigation into the incident. One of the students at the center of the video, Nick Sandman, appeared on the Today Show Wednesday, denying any wrongdoing, saying he would meet with Phillips. Phillips appeared on Democracy Now! Tuesday, recounting the incident, maintaining he was trying to diffuse a moment between the students and a group of Black people, so he picked up a drum and started singing. Tribes, Native organizations, states, and others are joining the United States and four tribes in filing briefs to urge the U.S. Court of Appeals for the Fifth Circuit to uphold the Indian Child Welfare Act. As Zoe Gruskin reports, Alaska is among those backing the law.
Alaska's Attorney General and two of the state's congressional representatives are calling on a federal appeals court to uphold the Indian Child Welfare Act, or ICWA. The 1978 law is designed to keep Native children with family members or within Native communities if they're up for adoption or removed from their home by state welfare agencies. Last year, the law was struck down by a U.S. District Court judge in Texas. The judge ruled it unconstitutional, saying it discriminates on the basis of race. That ruling is currently being appealed. Alaska Attorney General Kevin Clarkson joined attorneys general from 20 other states in filing a brief last Monday in support of the law. 2 days later, Alaska Senator Lisa Murkowski and Representative Don Young filed a similar brief, along with five congressional colleagues. In a press release, Senator Murkowski called ICWA among the most significant pieces of Indian legislation Congress has ever enacted. She said its purpose is to protect the integrity of Native culture and family. In Juneau, I'm Zoe Gruskin.
And I'm Antonia Gonzalez.
An apparent coup is underway in Venezuela, with the opposition leader Juan Guaido declaring himself interim president in an attempt to oust elected president Nicolas Maduro. Guaido's claim to the presidency comes today during a massive anti-government demonstration in Caracas, which some estimate has garnered hundreds of thousands of participants. Opposition leaders indicated today's protests are meant to encourage the government, military, and security forces to split from the president and support the opposition. Today's protest comes on the anniversary of the country's 1958 uprising, which overthrew the military dictatorship of Pérez Jiménez. Guaido, president of the right-wing National Assembly, promised amnesty to any military officials willing to take up arms against President Nicolás Maduro. The Trump administration declared its support of Mr. Guaido and seemed to encourage the military and security forces' defection from the government. Secretary of State Mike Pompeo issued a statement in which he promised that the United States would, quote, facilitate the transition of Venezuela back to democracy and the rule of law. In response, Maduro announced the expulsion of all U.S. diplomats. He has given them 72 hours to leave the country. Maduro has declared, quote, the U.S. has made a grave mistake.
You're listening to the KBOO Evening News for Wednesday, January 23rd, 2019. Here are the main points again. The dreadful continuation of the U.S. government shutdown. Portland City Council are in the works for making this city a sanctuary place for immigrants. And in international news, the coup in Venezuela. This is a volunteer-produced newscast, and we encourage your participation. Call us with your breaking news stories and tips at 503-231-8032. Our production team for tonight's newscast is Emily Gresham-Beamer, Jenka Soderberg, and Alex Riedlinger. The producer is Rachel Hartley, and our engineer is David Koisters. The director of Evening News and Public Affairs is Rachel Hartley. A podcast and transcript of this newscast is available on our website at kboo.fm/eveningnews. You are listening to KBOO Portland on 90.7 FM, K282BH Philomath on 104.3 FM, and K220HR Hood River on 91.9 FM. I'm Rachel Hartley.
And I'm Erin J. Bernard.
Good night, David.
Good night.
From KPFK Pacifica Radio in Los Angeles, this is Rising Up with Sonali, and I'm your host, Sonali Kolhatkar. We're online at risingupwithsonali.com. In today's news headlines, the U.S. Senate is due to vote on two competing bills to end the record-breaking partial government shutdown. Republican Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell plans a vote on his party's bill that includes $5.7 billion for President Donald Trump's border wall, and also puts in place new restrictions on asylum seekers. He also plans a vote on a House version of a bill that Democrats passed allowing the federal government to reopen temporarily while negotiations continue. Neither of the bills is expected to pass. In the House, Democratic leader Nancy Pelosi will introduce more bills on Wednesday to reopen the government. Public opinion polls show that more Americans blame Trump for the ongoing shutdown than Pelosi. Senate Minority Leader Chuck Schumer also stuck firm to the Democrats' position, saying this on Tuesday.
You can't have a compromise when one side declares, this is what we want and this is what you want. You can't have a compromise when one side is determining not only what they want in the bill, but what we want in the bill without even seriously negotiating with us. That is not how negotiating works. That's not the art of the deal.
That's Senate Minority Leader Chuck Schumer on Wednesday criticizing President Trump and the GOP's positions on refusing to end the shutdown. After the news headlines, we'll analyze the GOP Senate bill with our immigration correspondent Juan Escalante. Meanwhile, a new caravan of immigrants has arrived on the Mexico border from Central America, a type of humanitarian visa being made available under Mexico's new president, Andrés Manuel López Obrador, has apparently spurred more than 5,000 Central American refugees to wait by the Guatemala-Mexico border. The new visas would protect them from Mexican deportation and help them toward their journey northward to the U.S. There are still about 3,000 refugees, mostly from Honduras, in Tijuana, on the U.S.-Mexico border awaiting the ability to apply for asylum into the U.S. According to the Wall Street Journal, lawyers and migration experts say the migrants' chances of getting asylum in the U.S. are lower than ever. The week-long Los Angeles teachers' strike has ended. After intense discussions that went overnight, the Los Angeles Unified School District and the United Teachers of Los Angeles announced an agreement on Tuesday. Here are LAUSD Superintendent Austin Buettner and UTLA President Alex Caputo-Pearl at a joint press conference on Tuesday afternoon.
Today marks a new chapter in public education, a new chapter for Los Angeles Unified. Public education is the ultimate labor management collaborative.
I stand.
And this agreement reflects this in spirit and in letter. We entered contract negotiations with four objectives, and this agreement will achieve all of them. The first was to provide a fair 6% increase to all who work in schools. The second was to reduce class sizes, provide more support to educators in schools, more nurses, counselors, and librarians.
We were able to reach an agreement that we'll be able to explain more details of later, but include so many elements that are so important to our students, to our families, to our parents. Some of the, just quickly, a little list, class size is something that has desperately needed to be addressed in Los Angeles, and we have started down a real path to addressing class size. Nurses, librarians, and counselors, so many schools have gone without for so long, and now they'll have these crucial services.
That's UTLA President Alex Caputo-Pearl speaking alongside LAUSD Superintendent Austin Buettner on Tuesday, announcing an agreement after 7 days of teachers striking. Later in the afternoon, a vote was held among union members who passed the agreement, officially ending the strike. On our show tomorrow, we'll analyze the agreement and how the LA strike can be a model for teacher-led revolts elsewhere. Democrats are under fire for muddying the waters on an effort to pass Medicare for All legislation. Lawmakers in the House, where the Democrats hold a decisive majority, have introduced at least 8 bills on health care that critics are casting as Medicare for some. Among them are Senator Sherrod Brown, who's considering a run for president and has introduced a bill allowing only retiring police and firefighters access to the Medicare system before they hit retirement age. Brown said, quote, "It's easy to say Medicare for All and make a good speech, but see no action." According to Politico, the bills, quote, "range from modest Medicare reforms to more ambitious restructurings that would extend government-run care to millions of new patients. An array of options that fall short of campaign trail promises for